Well, praise the Lord. I am so glad that Jesus is my Savior. I'm so glad that I don't have to go to hell for eternity. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we enter into your presence right now and we declare we love you and we honor you. We glorify you. Jesus, we truly want to fulfill 2 Corinthians 3:18 and conform to your image. We bless your holy name. Father, tonight we know that you have a perfect plan for this evening, for every class, for every session, for everything that is done. Father, it is your will and yours only that we seek. And we look forward to what you're going to do in the way that you're going to touch our lives. Now, Father, use me as your instrument. Use me, Father, with your anointing and your glory to accomplish what you want done. And Father, we say our hearts and minds are opened to what you want to do, to receive everything you want to sow into our lives. And Jesus, you are the Lord over this Bible college. May your Lordship be demonstrated here tonight. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you may be seated. Tonight is the very first week TH 105. So this is week one, class number one, TH 105, confirming your ministry and calling. Now tonight, as you know, your papers and exams for TH 104 are due, and you should have turned those in when you arrived. The course objectives to help or to enable students to more clearly understand the various ministry gifts and callings in the body of Christ, and to help students better identify their own ministry. Now, in this particular course, this course and TH 106 are companion courses. In this particular course, what we're going to do is be focusing primarily on what it takes to discover your ministry. Now, that's a very brief description of what we're going to do in this course. But when we get into TH 106, that's when we're going to start breaking down the ministry callings and seeing what Scripture has to say about each one of them and getting God's definition of each one of these ministry callings, and that way it'll help us to understand better how to fulfill what He's called us to do. Well, the credit value for this course is 3 credit hours, and our course textbook is Who is Ready for a Spiritual Promotion? And that's by Rick Renner. And I really think you're going to enjoy this particular textbook. It's very good. And the course requirements, read the following: the textbook in its entirety, the book of Ephesians, and the book of 2 Corinthians. And if you're a correspondent student, you must also listen to every class tape prior to taking the exam. And all of that is worth 30 points, the reading and so forth. And in the books of the Bible that you're to read, Ephesians and 2 Corinthians, they have to be read in the King James. Reading in other versions or listening to a recording of these books doesn't count. To get the points for this, it has to be in the King James. Write a 10-page paper using the textbook, Bible syllabus, and any class notes. And if the paper's handwritten, it must be printed 20 pages long and skipping every other line. Now, in your paper, you're to explain what is your ministry? What has God called you to fulfill? Now, I would suggest that you wait, instead of just sitting down and writing this paper tonight or tomorrow, I would suggest waiting until at least the end of week 2 and probably the end of week 3 before you tear into the paper. And you'll understand once we get there, because, well, anyway, I won't go too far into that because I'll probably teach ahead of myself. I'll say this now. It's very possible, and the reason I'm sharing what I'm getting ready to share is because of what's happened in the past with students who have written their papers for this. It's very possible that you might write your paper and say, oh, I'm called to the ministry of, and then, you know, write that paper, explain why and how the ministry is to be fulfilled, how you're going to fulfill it, describing what's going to happen in your ministry, so on and so forth. Now, it's very possible that you'll write about a ministry that doesn't exist. And you may not, but this has happened in the past to where students, I'll just give you an example. I'm called to the ministry of, I'm going to make something up, okay? Just so outlandish, it makes no sense whatsoever. I'm called to the ministry of Toadstool. And then, you know, you write your paper on the ministry of Toadstool. Well, there's no such ministry. Now, the reason I picked something so absurd is because I don't want to pick something and someone say, but that's what I'm called to be. You'll understand later on as we go through this even further. So if you write your paper about a ministry that doesn't exist, we will identify that when we grade it. But the key is you have to start somewhere. And for a lot of people, quite frankly, the majority of the students who enroll in this Bible college do not know what their ministry calling is. They have no clue. Or they think their ministry calling is something that God has not established as a ministry calling. And so therefore, they come into this school with either no clue or a wrong clue. Well, what we're trying to do then is help correct that. And so it's not a matter of trying to make somebody feel foolish because they don't know, or foolish because they know incorrectly. It's a matter of, okay, let's start from where you are right now, and let's go forward from this point to be sure that we know, so that we are, in our hearts, it's confirmed to us what we are called to be for God, what our ministry calling is. And even at the end of this course, some people may say, well, you know, we've gone through this course, and I still don't know what my ministry calling is. I'm still not sure. That's okay. What you want to do is write a paper that describes and speaks of the ministry you'd like to be called to. So let's just pick one. Let's say that, you know, you have no clue what you're called to be. I mean, just, you know, I thank you for this course. I've got a lot of information. I've never heard some of these things before, but I'm seeing it in Scripture. Yet, in spite of all this help, I still am not sure what my ministry calling it. That's okay. What would you like to be? I don't know. Maybe a pastor. Maybe I'd kind of like to be a pastor. Okay, fine. Write your paper from the perspective of what you would like to be. If you don't know, just write it at what you'd like to be. Well, okay, I'd like to be the pastor, so I'll write my paper, you know, as though I'm going to be a pastor and so on and so forth, okay? Here's what you may find out. By the time we finish TH106, you may start seeing things from a different perspective and realize that you really are called to be a pastor. In other words, what you thought was just an imagination, it really may have been God speaking to you. And so now all of a sudden you sit back and you realize, by golly, I am called to be a pastor. And you look at your paper and you think, gee whiz, I was on the right track after all. And that's fine. And if you find out later on that you wrote your paper about the wrong thing, that's okay. What we have to get people started. What I have found in the body of Christ, and this, not just, you know, my church, this church, her church, his church, their church, I mean, all over the place. Christians, for the most part, they don't know. They don't know what they're called to do. And you're going to see as we, in fact, even tonight, by the time this is over tonight, you're going to see more clearly how that you do have a ministry calling. Doesn't matter who you are in the body of Christ. Doesn't matter where you live. Doesn't matter what your background. You have a ministry calling. So we need to find out what that is so that we can become everything that God desires and we can fulfill what He's called us to be. So don't let this paper create great consternation in your mind. It's like, I don't know what to do. Just rewind the tape and listen to what I said. And write it from these perspectives. Approach it from that way. And then at the end of this course, there will be an open book, open syllabus, open Bible exam. And it's worth 40 points. And in the effort, as usual, in the effort to assure that course material is covered in its entirety, all questions are to be submitted in writing. Now, when you first walked in, back at the sign-up table, there was a folded piece of paper that said, do not open until instructed to do so. Well, I'm not instructing you to do so just yet, but in just a few moments, I will be instructing you. Now, for those of you listening to this by tape, the form that the people in this room have, you might not have it. And it doesn't mean that anything's missing, it's just that you just may not have it. And so what I'm going to do is read this to you so that as you listen, you can write down each one of the questions that are on this form. And as I read this question, if you need to pause the tape or pause the CD, whatever, while you write the question down, that's okay. Go ahead and pause it. And then at the after I have read these questions so that they are recorded, we are going to stop recording for about, 5 minutes or so to give the people that are here and you an opportunity to fill out this questionnaire before we go any further in this course tonight. So you probably aren't going to hear a whole lot of blank space on the tape as you're listening to this, because we'll pause it and then go forward. So those of you that are here tonight, go ahead and open your form. And don't start writing the answers to the questions until I tell you to go ahead and start writing. At the top it says, it's for this course, TH-105, confirming your ministry and calling. And this form is for your own reference. You do not have to turn it in. This is for you to keep for your, for future use. Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And then Habakkuk 2, verses 2 through 3 says, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Now notice what he's saying here. First off, he says, where there's no vision, the people perish. Now, that word perish, it's not simply a matter of dying, but it would also imply rendered useless. Okay? Then in Habakkuk, he talks about, take this vision and write it down and make it plain. In other words, God's going to speak to you. Okay, we're talking about a ministry calling. God, what's my ministry calling? He's going to speak to you and tell you what it is, and he expects you to write it down and make it plain. The vision is yet for an appointed time. Right now, you haven't fulfilled your ministry. In some cases, you might not even have begun your ministry. Well, it's for an appointed time that you'll begin operating in your ministry. This is so very important. What I have found is that most Christians have absolutely no idea what their ministry calling is, and those who think they do haven't written one thing about it. God says that where there's no vision, people are rendered useless. Well, who is the one who gives us the vision? God. And he also says, take the vision and write it down. So when he begins to speak to you, and I'm not talking about, having, a vision, like some supernatural experience. What I'm talking about is God ministering and revealing to you, giving you a vision, revealing to you what he's called you to do. And then you take it and you write it down. Now later on, not so much in this course, but in TH-106, we're going to talk about documenting or writing down these things that God gives you as far as your calling is concerned. Now, what I'm going to do is read through these questions. For those of you who are listening by tape, and you can pause as you're listening to the tape and write the questions down and then, restart the tape. And then, again, as I mentioned, at the end of these questions, there's not going to be much blank space at all on the tape, because we're going to pause the recording process, so there won't be, you won't sit there and listen to a bunch of emptiness. So question number one is, what is your ministry calling? What is your ministry calling? And the words ministry and calling are the same thing. Some people teach this differently. We'll clarify it later on. What is your ministry calling? Number two, how did you come to this knowledge and how was it confirmed to you? In other words, whatever you know, whatever you think about your ministry calling, whatever you think you are, how did you come to that understanding and that knowledge? How was it confirmed to you? Number three, when was the last time you spoke to your pastor about your ministry calling? When was the last time you spoke to your pastor about your ministry calling? Number four, what are you doing to develop your ministry calling? What are you doing to develop your ministry calling? Number five, are you currently operating in your ministry calling? If so, how? Are you currently operating in your ministry calling? If so, how? Number six, if you know your ministry calling but are not currently operating in it, when do you think this will change and why? If you know your ministry calling but are not currently operating in it, when do you think this will change and why? And number seven, the final question, number seven, If you do not know your ministry calling, what are you doing to discover it? If you do not know your ministry calling, what are you doing to discover it? So now at this time, we're going to be pausing the recording process to give you time to answer this. And the next thing you hear is just a few moments on the tape will be me starting in and continuing on in the teaching of this course. So we'll pause now. And those of you that are here, just go ahead and write your answers down. We'll give you a few minutes to go ahead and do that. Okay, praise the Lord. And if you aren't quite finished, you can work on it a little bit later. And those of you listening to this by recording, obviously if you're not finished, you're not listening to this. Praise God. Now, go ahead and turn to page 2 in your syllabus. And turn over to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. And in verse 17, well, while you're turning, let me just say this. Between this course, TH-105 and TH-106, if you will sincerely and diligently apply what's being taught, you will come to the place of knowing your ministry. I can guarantee it. You say, well, that's a pretty bold thing to say, Brother Martin, you know, to guarantee it. I guarantee you will. Because this is all about discovering what God's called you to do. And if you apply what we teach in this course, 105, and then in TH-106, you will know, you will absolutely come to the place of discovering your ministry. You'll know. There's no doubt about this. And not only that, but you'll also understand what it's going to take for you to understand and come to the full realization of how to fulfill your ministry. So you're going to know how to discover it. You're going to discover it if you apply, and you'll know how to fulfill it. All of these things will be, they're guaranteed for you. And the reason is because we're approaching this from a scriptural perspective. We're not approaching this from a religious perspective. And that makes all the difference in the world. And in Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul writes, "And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." Now, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church of Colossae. And in that next to the last verse in this letter, he gives an admonition to a man named Archippus. Well, Archippus is mentioned one other time in Scripture, and that's Philemon chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, where it says, "Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the house, and to the church in thy house." And then he continues on with that letter. Some historians believe that Archippus was in training to pastor a church. Some think he was already fulfilling that role as pastor in Colossae while Epaphras was gone. And then there are others who think that at one time he was the pastor of the church at Laodicea, and then pastor of the church that met in Philemon's house. Now, regardless of his actual position at the time that the two letters, both Philemon and Colossians, were written, the belief is unanimous that Archippus was recognized as a minister of the gospel. And so what Paul is saying here to him is, you know, say to Archippus, encourage him, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Now, let's take a look here at this particular verse and kind of break it down a little bit in some of these words. First off, when he's speaking to Archippus, he writes, take heed. Take heed to. Now, this phrase, take heed, it means to give attention to. And it's a two-word phrase in both English and in the Greek that can also take on the tone of something of a warning. So when he says, take heed, give attention to. Now, let's think about this. He says, give attention to the ministry to which you're called, Archippus. So here's an instruction to this particular individual. You know, don't back off on it. Give attention to it. This is something that's very, very important. And then he says, take heed to the ministry. This word ministry, it means, number one, the office, ministration, and vocation of those who preach the gospel and have the care of the churches. And number two, an office or ministration within the Christian community. In other words, the body of Christ. So he says, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received. Now this is very, very important. Because he writes, hast received. In other words, it's something given from one individual to another. This is extremely critical. Given from one individual to another. Meaning, you didn't have it until somebody gave it to you. Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord. In other words, this ministry originated from the Lord and not man. Paul's emphasizing this. That thou fulfill it. This word fulfill, it's an interesting word. It's not just a matter of completing something. It's a word that's best defined by imagery. And it's similar to filling a mold with a substance you desire to take on the image and shape of that mold. In other words, think in terms of Jell-O and a Jell-O mold. So you take that liquid Jell-O, you pour it into the mold, put it in the refrigerator, and after it sets, when you take the Jell-O out of the mold, it's in the image of that mold. Likewise, if you're making a plaster cast, I know in many times when you go into houses and you'll see some fancy, it looks like part of the wall. And what they do, it's like maybe a face that's on the wall or whatever. What they do is they make plaster, pour it into a mold, and they take that the hardened plaster out, and they finish it a little bit, and then they attach it to the wall. And then when they go back and finish the plaster or the wall board, and they put the coating on the wall board and so forth, it actually looks like it's a part of the wall, not just attached to it. It looks like it's a part of it. And that's what this word fulfill means. It means, you know, here is something that you are to fulfill or you are to become this thing that you're looking at. Now, when he makes this statement to Archippus and he says, take heed to the ministry which you've received in the Lord that you fulfill it. This verse would be applicable to the entire body of Christ. So what we could do is we could put our own names in here and say to Bob, to Sue, to Joe, to Bill, and to Jane, I mean, put your own name in there and say to, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord that thou fulfill it. So no matter who you are in the body of Christ, put your name in this verse because this was written to you. Even though it originated to a man named Archippus, it was written to the entire body of Christ. We all have a responsibility to give attention to God's call on our life. Where he's, again, where he makes that statement, take heed, give attention to it. Focus on it. In Romans 11:29, it says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That word repentance comes from a Greek word that means without regret or change of mind. So here's God up in heaven. He's got this call for you. And he doesn't regret that he's called you to be whatever it is he's called you to be. And likewise, he's not going to change his mind. He knows what you're best suited to become. And he knows what you're best suited to fulfill. He knows what talents lie in you before those talents ever begin to come forth. He knows what you can do. And so therefore, this gift, this calling of God, it is without repentance. So you can go to God and say, God, you know, why did you call me to be this? Or I want to be something else. And God's going to say, yeah, but I'm God and I know everything. I'm perfect. I'm holy. I'm omniscient. I know the beginning from the end. Therefore, I know the calling that I have designed for you. It is the best calling for you and for your life. In Romans chapter 12, verses 3 and 6, it says, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And then he starts talking about ministering in these gifts. So Paul's writing and he says, listen, I'm writing to every man that is among you. Well, you know, you bring that forward to today and that's to every one of us. That we have a gift that God has given to us the measure of faith to fulfill that gift. And we talked about this whole concept, this word, measure of faith. It's the Greek word metron. And it's a term that was used in the military. We talked about this not too long ago, how that a soldier in the Roman army, before he ever went out to fight, when he first joined the Roman army, he was sent to the shield maker, and the shield maker would measure him from top to bottom and side to side. And then the shield maker would make a shield that fit that soldier perfectly. So it was his shield based on his body measurements. And God is saying that he has given to us the measure of faith. And a lot of people want to take this, well, this measure, you know, what percentage is it? You know, is it, do I get, you know, like 10% faith and you get 10% of the faith and somebody else gets 10%? I mean, how does this work? And there's a lot of confusion about this concept, measure of faith, what it means. What it means is this: God is the Bible talks about the shield of faith, does it not? Well, God knows what faith we're going to need to live this life, to fulfill our calling, to be everything He desires. And so He has made all, think of it this way, all the faith that we will need to accomplish everything that He has set aside for us, He's already made it available. In other words, based on this verse right here, we can't go to God and say, God, I need you to give me more faith. God would just look down at us and say, well, excuse me, but I've already given to you the measure of faith. It's already been made available to you. What you need to do is develop that which I've already given to you. You don't need me to give you more, because if I give you more, you're just going to have a stockpile of more undeveloped faith. You need to develop what I've already made available to you, the measure of faith. Failure to do this, failure to give attention or to take heed to our ministry is a form of rebellion to God. Now, granted, there are a lot of Christians who have never been taught to seek after a calling, to believe they have a ministry. In other words, it's presented maybe like this. God has something for everybody to do. It's like, well, okay. But it's deeper than that. God has a ministry calling for every member of the body of Christ. And in many churches, there's almost a casual approach to discovering and fulfilling a ministry calling. And yet, where he makes this statement, take heed to the ministry you've received, God would say the same thing to any of us. If Paul were here today, he would use these same words to each one of us. Take heed to the ministry calling that you've received in the Lord. So if I sit back and I say, well, I don't want to do that, that's a form of rebellion. Now, let's think about this for a moment. Why are there ministry callings? Why do they even exist? Well, it's kind of simple, really. God's in heaven. We're on earth. Where do the ministry callings need to be fulfilled? Here on earth. Trust me, you're not going to find any evangelists in heaven. Think about it. Who would they preach to? Evangelists are preaching to the lost. How many lost people are in heaven? So you're not going to find evangelists operating as an evangelist up in heaven. What I'm getting at is this. The ministry callings exist so that the kingdom of God can be expanded. God is in heaven. We are in earth. Therefore, the ministry callings exist for us here on earth so that we can be used by God to impact this world for His kingdom. If we don't do this, it is a form of rebellion to God. Hey, God's not going to make you do anything. If you don't want to be a pastor, even though He's called you to be a pastor, He's not going to make you. But you'll never walk in the fullness of the joy, strength, anointing, blessings, whatever else that God has set aside for you. Think of it like this. Here's God. He's got this plan for your life. He's laid this plan out. And He says, this path is the path of your ministry calling. Now, on this path is all of the prosperity, financial and material, you're ever going to need to make it in this calling. On this path is healing for your body. On this path is peace for your emotions. On this path is anointing for signs, wonders, miracles, so on and so forth. It's all right here because this is my plan for you. And I'm not leaving anything out when it comes to this plan. So if you, number one, find out what this plan is, what this calling is, and then number two, you start walking that path, a whole lot of the things that you perceive as problems in your life right now are going to be completely eliminated. And I am firmly convinced that one of the reasons a lot of Christians are struggling in life is because they're either trying to fulfill a calling that God never called them to, or They aren't doing anything to try and find out what their calling is. Because if the fullness of everything God has for us exists in His perfect will, and His perfect will includes His calling for our lives, then obviously we need to find out what this is. And if we don't, then, you know, here's the thing. The Bible talks about joy unspeakable and full of glory. You can have it, but the fullness of it is contained within His plan for your life. You know what's sad is that this is kind of a hard thing to get across to a lot of Christians. Let me say it this way. Church attendance is only a part of God's plan for your life. If all you're doing is attending church and that's it, you're not trying to discover the ministry to which God has called you, you are not in your calling. You are not fulfilling or operating in your calling. Attending church is great, and you're supposed to do that. But that, there is no such thing as the ministry of attending church, okay? It doesn't exist. So when we're called, or we are called, when we discover that calling and start walking in it, that's when we start walking in the fullness of God's blessings. It doesn't mean that we're not going to be challenged. It doesn't mean that Satan isn't going to attack or anything like that. But what it means is we're walking in God's divine plan and God's perfect will. I'm firmly convinced that there are a lot of families that have family problems at home because either the husband or the wife or both are not working to try and discover what God's called them to do. Think of it like this. Why is it that teenagers, you know, we talk about teenagers going through those rebellious years. Why do they do that? Well, because they're in rebellion, okay. But you know what? If we were able to get kids firmly convinced that God wants to use them in miracle power, isn't it interesting? And I've kind of shared this in the past. I'm not going to go too far with it, but isn't it interesting how that it's almost like we wait till people are adults before we start trying to train them in the things of God? Oh, we teach them Bible stories and so forth in Sunday school when they're kids. I'm talking about, it's like we wait till they're adults and start focusing on, think of it like this. How many times, when you were just a little kid, what do you want to be when you grow up? And it was like a joke kind of question. It wasn't until you got into high school that they started introducing things like career planning, you know, career day. Okay, I'm a junior in high school. I'm 17 years old, and you're just now talking to me about a career? What gives? Shouldn't you have been leading me in the direction of this thought process starting somehow when I was in first grade or kindergarten? I mean, carry this over into the church. Why is it that we wait until people really are like adults before we start trying to get them to figure out what your ministry is? What if we had taken kids when they were young, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, and started at their level explaining these things to them to let them know God will use you to raise the dead. He will use you to open the blind eyes. God will use you to help the deaf people hear and the lame people walk. He will use you with His anointing and power. And God's called you maybe to be an evangelist, or maybe He's called you to be a pastor or whatever it would be. God's got a calling on you, Johnny, Susie. And then if they were to start, I believe this with all my heart, if we were to train them in that direction, a lot of these kids that get into rebellion, I mean, how do you figure? Kids are raised in church and then they get into rebellion. Well, you can't force a child's will. You know what I'm saying? But I truly believe that if we were helping them understand these things from childhood, maybe they wouldn't. Maybe not all of them would get off and leave church and get into the world. If they really understood that there's a genuine purpose in a relationship with God, that it's not just a bunch of religion, that it's not just a bunch of offerings, that there is a real purpose in this. I truly believe that some kids would not, some probably would anyway, I don't know, but I think a lot of it could be averted if we'd let them know this now, when they're young. But now here it is, you've got adults, they don't have a clue. They don't know what they're called to. Take heed to my what? Your ministry. You mean I have one? Yes, everybody has one. Well, I thought only the pastor was called or the evangelist was called. No, everybody is called to a ministry. We have a ministry regardless of what we may think. Now, let's look at this quickly. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Here in Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to see the five ministry gifts. In Ephesians 4, 7 through 8, it says, "But to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And he gave some," verse 11, "apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers." So here we see the five ministry gifts. But there are eight operations of ministries in the body of Christ. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the further we go into this, it's going to be clarified. We're just introducing it right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 6, it says, "There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." In verse 27, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God hath set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues." Well, you can see how that the gifts ministered in, or mentioned in Ephesians 4, verse 11, fit into this. And again, more clarification is coming in this course. Well, right along with the five ministry gifts and eight operations, there are nine empowerments in the gifts and operations. And those are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." Now later on we'll talk about these particular gifts in more detail, the gifts of the Spirit. But these empowerments should be operating in the ministry gifts. These empowerments should be operating in the eight operations. Now here's the thing. Most Christians, what I have found is most Christians don't believe this. They believe that these things can happen, but they don't believe they should be happening. And yet, we see here the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given, for to one, to another one is given, to another one, and this one, and that one given this, and this one given that. In other words, these things should be happening in the body of Christ. Now let's bring it home. Let's talk about our own churches. What do we see? Do we ever see any of these empowerments in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11? Do we ever see any of these empowerments manifesting in the ministry of people that we call pastor, evangelist, teacher, this, that, and the other? Do we ever see any of these things manifesting? If we don't, something's wrong somewhere, because God is the one that's established this. "There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all the empowerments within all the operations." So therefore, we should be seeing these things manifesting in some way, shape, or form. Now, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we'll pick up at this point and continue on and talk about this just a little bit more. So we'll see you in 10 minutes.